And you'll notice two parts were highlighted in red. One part was what we covered last week, the Holy Spirit, and what is His influence in our life. The second part, highlighted in red, is what we're going to be covering today. I believe in the church, the Holy Catholic Church. That's Catholic small c. It's not referring to the Roman Catholic Church large c. It's used in the universal sense. Catholic small c means universal. The universal church is what we're affirming there. I believe in the church, that God's got an idea for this group of people. It was His idea at the very beginning. We covered this yesterday, actually, in the new members seminar. The church isn't just a good idea. The church is God's idea. Process that one through for a moment. The church isn't just a good idea. The church is God's idea, conceived by Jesus, birthed through the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. The church is God's instrument to work out the body of Christ and its believers. So the question here that we want to uncover as we continue our sermon series, The Basics of a Belief, is what's the purpose of the church? Why are we here? And what is God doing through this body of believers called the church? And to share that with us today, we have a guest preacher coming with us. The guest preacher on the day job works at DuPont here in town. And it's not the only hat he wears. Through the week, you can also see him wearing a fireman's hat as a part of the Bellevue Fire Department. And also an EMS badge belongs to his trade there. The guest I'm referring to is Dennis Denninger. And usually he sits in the back of the church at the 9 o'clock hour. Today he's going to be front and center at the 10:30 hour to share with us once again what is it about the church and what is God up to through this place and the church universal. So make Denny feel welcome as he comes word to share God's word with us today. And Denny, before you launch in, if we can have a word of prayer with you here. Lord, we once again pray that the words of Denny's mouth and the meditation of his heart would be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, that we truly would learn and grow and be the church as you've revealed it through Denny this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. I guess you do need that, Denny. Sorry about that.
Good morning. Well, back in January, I got an email from Pastor Justin, and he was wondering if I'd be able to help him out with this series message today and give the sermon for him. Well, as I'm reading the message or the email, I start getting a knot in my stomach, and I'm starting to get nervous about it already. See, I'm not really a speaker, but I did think about it, and I talked it over with my wife, Cheryl. Then I prayed about it, and then I've learned to sit back and listen. Well, it didn't take too long, and the answer came back that, yes, this would be a thing I should do. So I emailed Justin, and I told him that I'd be more than happy to do this for him, and I figured, well, he's got a topic for me already, and God above is going to give me the word, so how hard is this going to be, right? So I go to my desk, and I open up my computer and sit there and I stare at the blank screen. And I stare at the blank screen some more. And then finally I thought, okay, now what made me think I could really do this? So as I was sitting there thinking about it, I got to thinking back about 10 years or so ago. If somebody in the church were to come up to me and ask me, can you help us with a project over here? Or can you serve on a board seat over here? I'd have been more than happy to say yes on that. Not a problem. Cheryl and I, we led the youth group at our church for quite a few years. I assisted with and led many men's Bible studies. But to stand up in front of the church and give a sermon? Yeah, no, that wasn't going to happen. But what changed was back in 2008, a good friend of mine invited me to go on a walk to Emmaus. Now, the walk to Emmaus is a 72-hour weekend retreat, one's for men, one's for women. So I went on this retreat, and during this retreat, there's speakers that come up and give talks during it. Some are clergy, and some are lay people like myself. Some of the talks were on grace, God's grace. Some were on growing through study, some were on discipleship, and some were on being the hands and feet of Christ. I came away from that weekend with a new understanding of what it means to serve, and I wanted to serve in different ways. Since that time, Cheryl and I have become more active in the Emmaus community, and I've gone back on these weekends and I've been one of the lay people that have given the talks. Now, as Justin said, I always sit in the back, and that's kind of where I like to be, back and hidden out of the way and not up front here like this. But the Emmaus community has done a lot for me, and it has brought me out of my comfort zone. And I am so excited for the ways that it has made me to want to serve and be the hands and feet of Christ. It says in Mark 10, verse 45, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." That is why I'm here this morning, bringing a message on what is the church, what is our purpose as a church, and how are we doing here at First United Methodist Church as the hands and feet of Christ. Let's start with what is the church and what is the church made of. If you ask somebody, what is the church? Some people will say it's the building. Some will say it's a denomination or it's appointed leaders. These are all important aspects and features, but actually the church refers to all of us here and all the people of God who, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, seek to continue Christ's life and ministry wherever they are. Most churches have two levels, laity and clergy. Both are needed and are important. And whether you are laity or clergy, you are called to serve God through witness to those in your lives and through your participation in church. Laity serves by being witnesses to the living Christ and carrying the gospel into our homes, our workplaces, communities, and the institutions that shape our lives. Clergy serve by fostering the Christian community, interpreting God's word, administering the sacraments, and equipping the saints for doing ministry in their world. Laity and clergy are meant to support one another and to work together as a team. We should not expect the pastors to carry the entire load of taking the gospel to the world. That is why the church is a body of believers that is close to the heart of God and is often referred to as the body of Christ. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 3, God placed all things under Christ's rule. He appointed him to be ruler over everything for the church. The church is Christ's body. It is filled by Christ. He fills everything in every way. What is the body of Christ? In 2 Corinthians, it says, "When someone becomes a Christian, he becomes a brand new person inside. The old life has passed away, and a new life has begun." When we became Christians, we became part of a group of people with a common calling, and that is to belong to Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter where we are, what we do, or even who we are. We are all joined together like parts of a new body to reflect in the world the Christ whose image we are created. This new body, comprised of all Christians, is known as the body of Christ. But it is much more than a community of Christians. This term also describes the church fulfilling its mission throughout the world. The body of Christ is the entire community of Christians everywhere, and in our desire to grow in holiness, we radiate the gospel and Christian love all around us. As a church, we need to be a community of disciples, united by our faith in Christ and the response to Jesus' call to follow me. We need to continue Christ's ministry in the world today by being the church wherever we are and by finding its expressions in various forms of the church, such as your local congregation, an ecumenical mission formed with different faith backgrounds, helping a family seeking to live in faith, or wherever two or three are gathered in Christ's name. The greatest challenge in today's church is to empower and equip more members of the body to engage in Christian action in their everyday lives. So what is our purpose as the church? The church should be alive and life-giving. Vital churches reflect the triumphs of Easter and not the gloom of Good Friday. As Christians, we should become change agents where we live. The church should be a factory that produces saints and not a warehouse that just stores them. The heart of the church is the covenant of God's commitment to us through Jesus Christ and our commitment to God and one another in Christ. We commit to help one another live this life in grace by vowing to support the church's common life and ministry with our service, worship, gifts, and love. Without covenant and commitment, there is no church. Romans chapter 12, verse 3 through 8. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to us. If your gift is to prophesy, then prophesy. If in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. In Corinthians, it says, just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all of its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. We are all vital members of the living body of Christ. Together we can accomplish more than we can alone. We have a responsibility to help one another discover our gifts. Christianity is not a solitary practice, and no one person is sufficient for carrying out the total ministry of Jesus Christ in the church or in the world. Rather, the Holy Spirit distributes the various qualities and gifts of Christ's life and ministry among those who respond to his call. Each Christian has a vital and unique contribution to make, and God equips us for that task. Jesus promises, "Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to be with the Father." Sometimes we confuse gifts with our natural talents. A talent can be used to build up oneself, but it becomes a spiritual gift when it is offered in love to glorify God and to build up the body of Christ. 1 Peter states, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Next, we need to be a mission-minded church. When I wrote that, I started writing other things. And then I decided I didn't like what that was, so I'd erase it and go back to that sentence. And then I'd write something else, and I didn't like that, so I'd erase it and go back to that sentence. I decided to take a break. Well, I'm in the process of taking the next lay servant training class, and in that class, I had to read a chapter out of the Book of Discipline. So I opened it up to that chapter, and as I started to read it, these words spoke out to me. The mission of the church is to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world by proclaiming the good news of God's grace and by exemplifying Jesus' command to love God and neighbor, thus seeking the fulfillment of God's reign and realm in the world. Our actions should be characterized like breathing in and breathing out. We breathe in devotion to God and study so that we can breathe out faith and action. The church gathers for worship and nurture, and then scatters for witness and humble service. How do we go about putting the body of Christ into action? The risen Lord commanded us, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." There are three New Testament words that describe the action required to fulfill this mission. Kerygma is a Greek word for the proclamation of the good news. The church's mission is to preach and teach the good news, the story of God's love in Jesus Christ. This is the job description of the entire church and not just the pastors. Every Christian is called to give witness to Christ's resurrection. The message of Christ is proclaimed not only from the pulpits of churches, but also at the family table, the workplace, and at community affairs. Christians proclaim the gospel when they tell others God loves them, share their faith in Christ with others, and inspire others to seek the higher road, or mediate God's forgiveness. We must also identify for people the source of this life of grace. Koinonia is the Greek word for caring, grace-filled fellowship of the Holy Spirit that characterized the early church. The church's mission is not only to tell the good news, but to be the good news. We are to be a Christian community for people showing a life of grace. It is where people discover grace as a way of life. If the church does not live in grace, then what witness can we give the world? The church's mission is not to be a showplace for the perfect, but a home where people feel accepted in their weaknesses and strengths, where they are inspired and supported to be new persons. Diakonia is a Greek word for service. The church's mission is not only to tell about God's grace, which was kerygma, and to live together in God's grace, koinonia, but also to share God's grace in deeds of love and service, diakonia. The church's mission is to serve the world by sharing the love God gives. The church's service is to offer hospitality to the lonely and should not be a club with closed membership, but a house where the door is always open and there is always a place for the hungry souls at the table. Find a need and meet it should be the motto for every church everywhere. We cannot wait for the world to come to the church. The people of God must convince the world of the reality of the gospel, or it will remain unconvinced. The church must reach out to people where they live and exhibit willingness to meet real needs and to love people as they are. In summary, through kerygma, koinonia, and diakonia, the church's mission is to produce fruit-bearing disciples committed to making the world a more Christian-centered, loving, and just community. Now here's a question for all of us to think about. How are we doing here at First United Methodist Church at being the hands and feet of Christ? A few things that came to my mind when I was writing this was how we reach out to the community and take dozens of donuts to the schools for the staff and children. We line the front lawn of church at Halloween time to pass out candy and to serve donuts and cider. We have a very active youth participation here, from running a daycare center to our Wiggly Worship program and to our youth program. For adults, we have numerous Bible studies throughout the year. We have breakfast with the boys, and we have Sunday school classes. We collect shoeboxes for Operation Christmas Child, and we tithe our offering to support organizations and missions in our community and the world. So if you would like to participate and become a vital member of the body of Christ but don't know how, I have a simple four-step plan. First, you need to focus on a need. What need in the church or community or world is the Spirit nudging you to do something about? What concern or burden of love seems to persistently gain your attention, as though to make itself your business? Second, identify your gifts and resources. The connection may be direct between the need and what you can offer, or your gift may be the commitment to see that something is done. The willingness to call together the resources and people, or the concern to simply do what you can. Third, seek the support of others. Share your plan with others in the church. Work through the proper channels and be open to the counsel of others. And fourth, work as a team. Don't over-exaggerate your importance. Don't be a lone ranger, and don't underestimate the importance of your fellow workers and their gifts. Seek your pastor's counsel and cooperation from the outset, and integrate your plans with the total ministry and priorities of the church. Every Sunday, Christians from around the world gather, some in churches like ours, some in megachurches, some meet in rented spaces, and some meet in homes, and some even meet outdoors. What matters is that we all gather to worship, enjoy fellowship, and get renewed for the coming week. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as members of the body of Christ, give us the courage to come out of our comfort zone and be a church willing to go out into our community and world as your ambassadors, being your hands and feet. Amen.
I told Denny after the first service, so he had a half a page of notes from him there. Got another half a page for this service there. Maybe we'll have to listen to it a third time online there. Did you catch some of the things that Denny was saying about the purpose and nature, the flowing of the church? Said a few things that I really starred next to. The church is to be alive and life-giving. Easter people is what we're meant to be there. A taste of the resurrection every Sunday morning we gather. That's the reason why we gather on Sundays in the first place. A taste of Easter, each and every one. One of the zingers he said at the very beginning, Mark 10:45, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. You ever think about that for a second? As followers of Jesus, if Jesus came into the world not to be served, but to do the serving, and if we're self-proclaimed followers of Jesus, what do you think the flow of our life should be as well? To expect people to serve us or to be the servants, the foot washers like the wiggly worshipers of the world there. That was a zinger there. My favorite comment, I think, from both services, including for this one, was the church is to be a factory of saints, a factory of people producing disciples of Jesus, not a warehouse that just stores them. How do you like that picture? A factory of saints and not a warehouse that just stores them. I'm going to put Roxanne on the spot there as a member of the new membership class there. Roxanne, if you get this wrong, don't worry. Every single person in the first service got this one wrong there. But can you remember the passage that we covered yesterday that recorded the birth of the church? The birth of the church found somewhere in Acts. It's the consensus. We're going to review. Don't worry about that, Roxanne. Acts 2, it's the day of Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit comes upon the disciples and the church is birthed from that moment. Acts 2 records the scene of what it looks like, and it looks like the Holy Spirit comes upon them, the text says, in tongues of fire. My translation being, God lit a fire under their butt. That's what's being symbolized there. God lit a fire underneath the butt of the disciples there. And you know what their first steps were after that fire ignited in their life? It was to get out of that house and go and tell people about Jesus. Anyone they came across, to tell them, and so that people could see Jesus in their life and to tell them the good news of what Jesus did. That was where the birth of the church was begun. Acts 2, where God lit a fire and that fire caught with all around there. 3,000 people coming that day to faith in Christ because of that fire being lit. And that's the birth of the church. Why do we exist as a group of people? It's not to sit in the pew and to sit on a fire. If you sit on a fire, you put it out. The way to fan the flame there is to go out in service of God there. There's ways both within the church and outside the church where we're called to serve one another. Not to be served, but to serve one another. To continue this fan, this flame of what God has flickered in this world in the name of Jesus Christ. So thank you, Denny, for being that flame today and teaching us more and more about that flame.